856-261-9018 or questions at bfgbc.org. 1 John 1:8-10. Let's read that together. Oh, that's right.
I was helping.
Oh, that's right. I remember. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. All right, if we say, who's the we with scripture then? We. Yeah, probably.
Believers?
Believers. But you write it to Christian believers, then you're a Christian. To say we have no sin. Some people say that. Yeah, Barbara?
Schuller said he had none.
Really?
Yeah, he said he doesn't sin and he didn't have any sin.
Wow. Is he true or false?
Well, he's false.
False.
Because more ways than one.
Well, that's right.
Schuller doesn't have a radio program?
Yeah, Schuller. Sure. Big, big deal.
He said now, he has no sin?
Mm-hmm. Now, what does God call it? What does God say about it if you say that or say
that? Yeah,
Paul?
I suppose a liar.
Liar? And what else?
The truth is not in.
What else? We deceive ourselves. What is deception? How would you define deception?
Deceitfulness?
Could be deceitfulness. What else? Deception. Do people deceive other people?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, Paul,
it's an illusion. A person believes their own lie.
Did Obama deceive the people and said, you keep your doctor, keep your plan? Did he deceive us?
Yeah,
he sure did. And also, he did what Paul just said. He lied. He's a liar as well. But if we are Christian believers, what is a group of Christians that say they reach a place where they cannot sin? What's that group called? Several groups. The Tammy?
Holiness
groups, that's right. Yeah, Bill?
No, sinless perfection.
Yes, to the holiness groups. What else do they... Lying, we say. How is sinless perfection, but what else? Well, I guess that's
close enough.
That's close enough. Some of the charismatics, they're holiness people. They're called not being able to keep life for eternal purity. They can fall into sin. The Arminians, the general Arminians, yes, Dan?
Well, not the old life hypothesis, but the new.
Your
Pentecostals, they're more ecumenical. They would
be
in agreement with that too.
Okay. So, but we cannot say we have a sin. Now, some of the people boast and say, oh, I'm sinless. I've got to reach the point. No. What causes genuine Christians to sin? What causes genuine Christians? Any hands on that? Nobody knows. Okay. Yes, Barbara?
The sin.
Sin nature. We've got the sin nature. The old flesh. Tammy and then Bill.
First
we have no sin.
All right.
Okay, Bill. First John 1:8. Yeah, Bill.
That's humanism. That's humanism because they believe that they are the basis of all that exists.
Mm-hmm. As far as the ones that are lost and hell bound, do they generally think that they have sin or no sin? They're all right. In other words, they're all going to heaven. There's no problem as far as God is concerned. They're already believing about some of them. So that's a very serious verse. Verse 8. And then verse 9, we've said that many, many times. It's, how would we define the word confess? And what Greek was it from? Yeah, Barbara?
Homologeo.
What does homologeo mean in the Greek?
To agree with what God says.
That's true. And the word homo means what?
Same
like contact, no, and logeo?
Word.
Well, also, word. What else? To speak. To speak the same thing that God says, agree with God. That is, if we agree with God. Now, what is true? Who's the we referred to here? Any hands on that? Yeah, Barbara?
The same we in verse 8, the believers.
Genuine Christians. Can this person apply to unsaved, godless people?
No.
No, it's not made for them at all. So, in the week, what do they have to do to be saved? The timing?
Trust the Lord Jesus Christ.
Finish with
them.
Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, Barbara. Trust the Lord Jesus and change their... Now, some people now, let me just point this out. Some people say that you must repent and believe. Two things to be saved. Dr. Schaefer always put that in one single thing. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It involves changing your mind concerning sin. And changing your mind that we're sinners and we trust in Him. A lot of people think repentance, now David Plow's got the same thing. He's got to have repent and believe. See, he's mixed up on that as well. He's sound on most of the things. But, for instance, it says in the scripture sometimes, the Lord repented. Does that mean he's a sinner?
No.
What does it mean? Ken?
I was just saying something else.
He puts in repentance before you, but also you have to make Jesus Lord of your life before you can be saved. Is it possible for any person in the world to make Jesus Lord of your life before you're saved? Because sinners can't do it. See, so, but genuine faith and changing your mind concerning sin, that's certainly that's part of repentance, but changing your mind concerning sin, and the matter of repentance as a work, because the gospel is clear. John 3:16 says, well, let's say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have an everlasting life. Does that verse say repent? Is repentance in that verse?
No.
Is making Jesus Lord of your life in that verse? No. But who's it? What kind of belief is it? As Tammy just said, what kind of belief is this? Good luck.
He said that the guys are going to get all the all. That nothing and not should perish of whosoever can believe in him.
Alright.
In other words, he's giving them the opportunity to come to him for salvation.
Uh-huh. And Tang said earlier, what kind of belief is it?
Trust, to rely upon.
You said it before.
From your heart.
From the heart, not the head.
I'm just clarifying more.
Yeah, Barbara, that's more than
that.
Right. Hard belief, really trusting Lord Jesus Christ. Confession, he's faithful. Who's the he that errs for? In 1 John 1:9. Who's that he was for? The Father, that's right. If we, as Christians, confess, agree with God concerning our sins, we agree that we have sinned. What about Christians that just don't agree necessarily, but they just confess like to the priest or something else, without realizing that's really sin? They just talk about it and say it and speak it. What about those people? Yes, Bill?
The priests or pastors or whatever, they're not capable of forgiving sin. Mm-hmm. Only God can forgive sin.
That's right. And if you think confess just means to speak, to say,
that's not enough.
It's got to be agreeing that what we've done is sin. Lord, I have sinned. And then, only then, he is faithful to do what? Two things. Just, he's faithful and he's just. Now, faithful, what does that imply? Faithful. And he hasn't? And he hasn't? Yeah, the
tenth. He's trustworthy, he's reliable.
Trustworthy? Bob, you have something?
He's having that full of faith. Faithful.
Well, that's true, but in this case, somebody's faithful in doing things, that means what?
Reliable.
Reliable, and what he says he's going to do, he does it. He's trustworthy. He's going to carry out what he promised. Yes.
I was just going to say, word is his bond.
Word is bond. Going to carry out what he says. Faithful. What is the second thing about it if we genuinely agree with God, our sins and confess them?
He's
just. What does it mean that he's just?
It's fair. He's fair. He knows everything.
Now,
but he makes just judgments.
Now, on what basis is the Lord just in forgiving our sins? Bill?
He cleanses us from all unrighteousness.
That's true, but on what basis, Tammy?
The basis of the blood of Christ.
Blood of Christ, Lord Jesus.
We trust in him.
That's right. How many sins did the Lord Jesus pay for the whole world? How many sins? The whole world. And if we trust as we're saved, if that trust and believe genuinely from our heart we're saved, God is just. In other words, can he forgive the ones that don't trust the Lord Jesus Christ? Can he immediately, just by saying something, and never trusted Christ, can he forgive the people? No. See, now he's a forgiving God, but his forgiveness is based on what the Lord Jesus, his Son, did on the cross, right? So faithful to forgive us, and just to forgive. What does forgiveness mean? Any hands on that? Forgiveness. Get a lot?
It's canceled out.
Canceled out? Paul?
As far as from the east and from the west.
All right, and Barbara, and Barbara.
To send away.
Yeah. The Greek word is aphiemi. Aph is away, eimi is to send. Aphiemi, send away, to send away. Forgiveness. It has all been placed on the Lord Jesus Christ. All of our sins, the whole world, Christian believers especially, is able to forgive our sin. Who's the hour referred to there? Any hands on that? Yes, pardon?
It goes back to the we.
A true believer. I read this in italics, but I mean it's understood by the context. Our sins, he will forgive our sins, and he's just and faithful. Does this verse apply to unsaved people that have never been born again? No, it does not. Yes, fine.
But Christ is not saved until they
As soon as
they
but as they exist here, just unsaved people, he doesn't forgive their sins. He's not just because they haven't trusted Christ. But if they trust Christ, then he's just, he's faithful, and to cleanse. Now, what does it mean to cleanse? Cleanse, who's the S referred to here? Barbara?
True believers.
True believers. What does it mean to cleanse? Yeah, Barbara, Tammy?
Wash from
stuff. Wash. That's right, wash, clean up. From how much is he able to forgive and cleanse in first time? Barbara?
All
unrighteousness. Now, unrighteousness is not defined, but how would you define unrighteousness? How would you give some examples of unrighteousness? Yeah, Barbara?
Unrighteousness, opposite of righteousness.
That's right. So what are some of the things that God considers unrighteous? Verse 9. All sin. What kind? What are some of the sins that would be? That's right, so people can understand it in the scripture.
Galatians.
Works of the flesh. Lying, and stealing, and corruption, and adultery, fornication, all these different evil things. And the all from all unrighteous cleanse us. The essence again, the same person, people in the first part. Genuine Christians from all unrighteous. All right, verse number 10 says, who's the we referred here? Yeah, remember?
True believers.
True believers, again, genuine Christians. Now, again, if we say if we have not sinned, remember in the verse number 8, it says, if we say that we have no sin, in verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, what does that mean? The difference between we have sinned but not sinned, what does that mean? Yes.
If we have no sin, that's a noun. So we don't have anything against it. But if it's the verb, if we have sin, we commit the act.
All right. If somebody says, I have no sin, what does that mean? Versus a person says, I have not sinned. We have no sin, I have not sinned. Any distinction that we have, huh?
No sin is lying.
Okay. In other words, you have no sin of any kind.
Born in sin.
All right. They have no sin, otherwise they're naked. Yeah, Barbara?
If we don't have sin, then we're already perfect.
That's right. But then when it says, I have not sinned, what would that mean?
Commit
any transgression. Oh, any transgression committed. That's right. But if you say no sin, that means there's no sin nature here, unless there's nothing here. But then the actual acts of sin, I have not sinned. Now, in verse 10, what does it say of those that say we have not sinned? What things we make who a liar? Yes, God Himself. What does God say about our sin? Remember?
For all of sin.
All
the
sin. I'm sure the Lord got you, huh?
What if you don't know you're sinning? You must be sinning and don't know it. If we're sinners, which we are.
What?
Even if we're Christians, we must be sinning and not know they're sinning.
What? Are there some people that don't know if they're sinning?
Well, if you don't know you're doing something wrong, then how do you
Does
know?
The unsaved worldly person? Yes.
Well, ultimately, God is a judge.
All right.
His word, His Holy Spirit can convict us as much as we know of His word.
Mm-hmm.
So, someone who doesn't ever read their Bible, that doesn't mean that I'm sin. That means sin. They can't walk in the Spirit because they don't even know what the Scripture says.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even know the mind of Christ.
Mm-hmm. All right. Questions at dftbc.org, 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Glad to hear from you. Now, if we say we Christian believers say we have not sinned, what two things are true? First is what? Yeah, Barbara.
We make God a liar.
We make God a liar. Why does that mean? What do you mean? Why do we make God a liar? Yes, Paul?
Well, because it's saying this word of Romans. It all sin comes short of the glory of God.
That's right. Good, Barbara.
Thank you.
Say this, so we make God a liar. God says we're all of sin. If we say we have not sinned, we're making him a liar. Is God a liar?
No.
He's not man that he should lie. He's perfect. He's no liar of any kind. What's the second thing is true? We say about sin. Secondly, yes, Barbara?
His word is not in
us. Now, what does that mean? How would that apply in understanding this verse? Barbara?
Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee.
All right. And if word is not in us, what is the, what, how does the word not in us have to do with sin and saying we have sinned or have not sinned? Make him a liar. Barbara?
Look.
I mean, Tammy?
If something's not abiding in you,
then the word's in abiding in you. You know, that's not the verse I'm looking for, but it's in John 15. And it's about abiding in Christ. We can't abide in Christ, so the Holy Spirit can't be leading us unless the Word of God is in our minds and controlling us. So we need to be obedient to His word, and controlling us. If people don't know what sin is, whether they're saved or lost, they don't know what sin is, how can they say whether they have or haven't sinned? Is it possible? Yeah. Where do we find out what sin is in God's word? Yes, Bill.
Anything that contradicts the word of God is
right.
Sin.
All right.
However, the sinners quite often don't realize that sin is real, that there really is sin, because right. There's no truth in them. Everything that is in them is a lie, mm-hmm. And they have no basis for believing in the concept of sin. Because mm-hmm. All they know is lies.
But Bill and Tammy, then Ron. I mean, excuse me, Paul. You got something in that, Paul?
What I was going to say, the only way people will know what God's word says is in the scriptures, the Holy Scriptures.
The scriptures, yeah, Tammy, and then Ron.
In verse 15, I mean, chapter 15 of John, verse 30, it says, now you are clean for the word which I have spoken unto you. And the source of fruitfulness. Comes in the next two verses. Mm-hmm. Abide in me, and I in you, as this branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same branch forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing.
Mm-hmm. And well, I guess we sin when we don't know just by being and breathing. I mean, if we don't deliberately sin, it doesn't mean we're not sinners. And maybe we're sinning and we don't know we're sinning. That's the part I don't catch on to.
How do we know what God means by the word sin? How are we going to find that?
The
word of God, the scriptures. The scriptures define what sin is in God's eyes and what it isn't. Okay?
The only way that we can be sure that what we're doing is following the Lord is by meditating upon what God has said to us, mm-hmm. and letting the word of Christ change us and mold us.
Does, yeah, Barbara?
Isn't that what the whole concept of the red heifer was? There was, you know, the five offerings, and then there was the offering of the red heifer, that it was, I'm not saying it's what, the only thing I come up with, it's not the word I want, mm-hmm. but that was the concept of the red heifer.
All right. Does the world agree with God as to what sin is?
Well,
does the world agree with God?
No. Where do we find... You can believe all this. Like, I believe that all this sin is. I believe that I know the Lord is my Savior. I'm sure that I do bad things, but I don't always know that I'm doing bad things. Except you're important.
I do.
But, I mean, it's hard to know. Now, if you deliberately, if I deliberately start swearing or something, if I get a little mad at everybody, well, then that's the nature.
Well, let me ask another question, the same question before, to make sure we have it. Where do we find out what sin is?
The Bible.
Scripture. Does the world agree with God as to what sin is?
No.
In fact, does the world even use the word? I don't know.
No.
I don't know that they do. They just fly here, Bill.
A lot of people say that sin is strictly a religious concept. It has nothing to do with reality, according to many sinners out there, especially atheists.
Yeah.
Come
on.
Well, in Galatians here, there was lust of the flesh and the blood of the spirit, you're not under the law. The works of the flesh are, which are these adultery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, which that means envious, contention, rivalry, jealousy, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murders, and drunkenness, reveling, and especially. Well,
all 17 of those specified as sin.
But, yes, but.
And suspect,
if we judge ourselves and we don't think we're guilty of these, that doesn't mean we aren't a sinner. I guess I. I don't know.
Okay, Barbara, and then Tammy.
The heifer was for the offering of the pilgrim life. It was for the unintentional sin. It was for defilement and not sin. But to be defiled, you still couldn't come before God. Mm-hmm. Christ fulfilled the law, so he fulfilled the concept of the red heifer here. Mm-hmm. So that would also apply to our Christian life, the unintentional, that if we don't know we're sinning, if something's wrong and we don't know until we're told, either by the Holy Spirit or through His Word, that's covered.
But does God call it sin even if we don't know it's sin?
Yeah.
Does God still call it sin? But there you have 10.
Well, there's the omission and commission.
Yes, what's
the difference? Those are the sins of commission that Mom is reading.
Define commission for us.
There are things that you do as opposed to not do, omission, sins of omission. So if you fail to give thanks for something that God has done for you, if you fail to pray for someone, those are sins of omission. So we can sin both ways. And I don't know if that, I mean, it says it's the works of the flesh, but are there other sins of the flesh?
Oh, et cetera, and so forth.
Right,
et cetera,
right. It's not just those that are written there.
Right.
It says, and many more, is it? Or something? What's the very end sentence?
And so on, or and others. What does it say?
Of which I told you before, was that what's the point of that?
After the list, honey, all the list.
I did, that's what it says.
So, what's the last word in the list?
The list.
Such like.
We don't have any idea what the such like.
Oh, that means a lot of other things.
Well,
there's just
things
a few
that are written in other places in this scripture.
Right. But these are 17 listed specifics, plus a lot of others, many, many others. Uh-huh.
And the opposite of the sins that remain, plus the sins we evidently hide up with, the fruit of spirit is love, joy, peace, love, jealousy, and deceit, all those things. There's no law against those.
No, those are not sins. It's what
if we have those in our lives, which I'm not sure, I can't judge myself. I can judge myself, but I can't always come to the right conclusion.
Are any of those
fruit? I'm partial for myself.
Is the fruit of the Spirit sin?
No.
No, absolutely not.
Love, joy, love, love, and jealousy. Yeah. But maybe I don't have fruit. I don't really, every day I don't think, I have any fruit of the Spirit, I guess I should be going
through. But we're talking about sin, though, now, not the fruit of the Spirit,
but
sin.
The opposite. If I don't have that, then I have sin. And I really haven't thought about this. I mean, I don't.
Well, a person that's not walking with this Holy Spirit in control of the Spirit of God, it's possible they don't sin. I mean, it's possible. It's very hard. Yeah. Tammy and Bill. Was Tammy had something?
No, but I could reiterate about abiding me and I in you, and it's my words abiding you. In talking about fruit, fruitfulness comes by abiding, having the words of God abiding.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
That verse in John 15.
Okay,
it's
not abiding.
Bill, go ahead.
Some people don't realize that they are sinning while they are sinning because they think that many of their behavioral and thought patterns are normal, and that other people should have them. For instance, let's say I was a politician or a president, and I see something that in another country, and I want that resource. So I call up the army and invade that other country. That's horrible sin, wasting life indiscriminately for possession. That's stealing.
Yes.
But there are so many things that many people are used to. If a person goes to one of these places where they have striptease or something like that, they think that's normal behavior and that it's okay. They don't think of it as sin or anything like that. They're way off.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
David had 29 wives, which wasn't enough because he lusted after Bathsheba. Got her pregnant, killed her husband, and nothing happened until David, until Nathan said, "Thou art the man."
Right.
I'm having a hard time believing that David didn't think he wasn't doing wrong when he did it, but apparently not because it's fine. And so it took somebody, it took the Lord's prophet to tell him that, hey, you know, I'm going to tell you a little story here, and David said he deserves death, and, well, yeah, so do you.
Did David ever repent of his sin?
Oh, create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit.
Where's that from?
51.
He repented. Against thee, the only of us sin, that is great, yes. That's right. Now, for instance, the practice is growing and growing and growing of homosexuality. Is that sin or is that fine?
It's
like sin against the Word of God. That's right. What about transvestites? Is that what are the
transgender.
A lot of trans clothes with mixture of transgender and trans clothing. But in the beginning, God created what? That's exactly right. And the reason the president doesn't want transgenders to be in the military is why? Among other things, what is one of the big reasons? Our president Trump.
Is that what he said?
He's prevented. See, others. Trump, Obama said, get him in there, all the transvestites you can, because he's a homosexual himself, Muslim homosexual, Obama was and is. He said, bring him in. See, but what has Trump just recently done about it? He says, no.
Ban.
No transsexuals or transvestites. They're in there, but he's against that whole thing. What's his reason for Bill?
I'll bet a lot of the military leaders are happy that he's going this route.
Yes. And they don't want these half men or women there. I wouldn't want.
We don't want that kind of confusion in the military.
Right. What other reason does President Trump have? I will tell you. First of all, they want to get free transsexual medical surgery, which causes maybe $1 million, $2 million. Furthermore, every time they go into surgery for that, they're out on their own 238 days. That's 365. Yeah, that's coming up to half a year over here. I didn't know, but so it's going to be, this government has to pay their bills for being wicked and sinful and perverse. I'm glad he's done that. Now, he's got a lot of backlash from ways against that. But anyhow, that's what's in. If we say we have not sinned, we lie, we make him a liar, and his word's not in. Any other comments in chapter 1 before we move on to chapter 2?
Special right.
Pardon me?
Special right.
They want a special right.
Special
right, that's right, exactly.
Or to be in the military, you have special rights to take all these days off, right? Is the government paying for them?
Yes. Oh, yes. Freebie. Go ahead, Barbara.
I haven't been a military wife for 20 years. They can't do, they couldn't have the surgery unless the surgeon okayed it.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of this hangs on the medical profession as far as approval goes.
Yes.
Because you don't fly, you don't go into combat, you don't do anything without medical approval.
Yes. Somebody on the phone, go right ahead. Who is it? Speak up.
Hello?
Hello? Anyway.
Please take your phone off. Put your phone on.
My phone?
Put your phone on.
Phone on.
Phone on.
If the doctor didn't approve it, they couldn't.
Yes, I've got the phone out like that.
Your telephone, your other telephone.
You don't walk into
it.
My telephone. Your cell phone.
Cell phone on?
Turn it on.
So to have it on. son. If you're a Jew now.
And.
What? Somebody must have called. Give him a call on my phone, 856-261-9018. 856-261-9018. I don't understand. We're supposed to be going.
It's going to voicemail.
We're in the voicemail?
Yes.
All right. Let me repeat. Any other comments or questions after one?
Completely
as we could possibly cover. Elaine, did we cover completely?
Schneider, yes.
Paul, did we cover it completely?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thanks.
So it doesn't work in your phone, they call Mark, but Jacob...
Jacob's there. I wonder why it didn't work. Jacob wants to talk to us, huh? Jacob, give me a call at 856-261-90. Oh, maybe.
They're calling.
It doesn't work in your phone.
Okay, now, Sid, please fix it. It's on Buzz. That's why I couldn't see it.
On
Buzz.
It's like your phone's on.
That's old. Jacob, right ahead. Fix it for me. Yes, go ahead, Jacob, from Texas.
Yeah, I was thinking about these three verses over here in John 8.
Uh-huh.
30-32.
Yes.
These words, when he believed on him, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, the truth shall make you free. Yeah, we need a lot of Bible.
Yes.
Okay. And that talk that Bill gave a couple of years ago, the old man versus the scripture.
Uh-huh.
I was reminded of that. That was really good. Like he said there, it's automatic. You know, it's not just our flesh, it's the old life, too, that will divide it. You can react to something without even processing it. Anyway,
yes. Very good.
Here's.
Thank you.
Pound sign.
Then what?
But you go back
now,
to the river.
Hold it down.
Hold it down for a moment.
Hold it down.
Couple seconds. Is this over?
I don't know.
It should have come up on the screen. It's a vibration motor.
Somebody has to call me, I guess, in the shirt. That's a promise it works. All right, so no more comments for chapter one, or else we'll move on to chapter two?
We should finish, have more to say, but I guess.
Well, we just had 8, 9, and 10. There was 8, 9, and 10 today. And last Sunday we had the first verses. After that, you got to call her. Okay, we're checking on the phone, you people listening to us. Pardon us for a little pause. Now let's begin by reading chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. Questions at pftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Is my phone working on it?
Mm-hmm.
Is it calling? It's still buzzing. Dan, you got to fix it. I can't fix it. Here, take it here. So we get people. You can't. Come up again.
I can do it. Just give me a moment. I can't get up to the meeting though.
Just
put it on the table.
Right here. I think we should have it open because people who are having a call, they can't call, they can't hear them because it's buzzing. Sometimes you can't feel the vibrations. So the master of everything, Pastor Dan Waite, will fix it. Unless those big people are listening to us, give us a call, 856-261-9018, or questions at bftbc.org. All right, let's begin reading chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3 together. My little children, these things I write unto you, that you may know God, and understand we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And right, we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. All right, chapter 1, 2, verse 1. That's just me. That's
you,
it.
Right?
That's me. That's me. My sound, right? Okay. Thanks. Okay, it works. Very important that it works. All right. Who's
you
in my
room?
No. There's nobody calling. That's the fact that I just checked it over.
Oh, okay.
What does my children mean in chapter 2 of this one? Who's that?
My little children.
Paul?
The total five is believers?
I believe it's a Christian, but what's the difference between children and little children at a bond?
Well, first of all, I think the writer must be John. He must be children in the faith.
Children in the faith. Yeah. Bill?
No, I didn't read
Tammy. I thought I had him.
Barbara did.
I was going to say these could be the people he led to Christ.
Could be. What's the difference? Okay, Tammy.
In chapter 13, it was little children. He calls them little children because they have known the Father, as opposed to being young men or fathers.
All right. What might be the difference between children, saved people, children, and little children? What might be the distinction?
The level of spirituality.
Spirituality? Spirituality.
The babes that, you know, when they come to trust in the Lord.
Could be new Christians, another babe, let's say, that's your market. So, why did the Apostle John write these things? What's the purpose of verse 1 when he wrote this whole first John? Yvonne?
He doesn't want them to sin. Evidently, they were sinning like men and didn't know they were doing it.
All right. He does not want them to sin. That's a very important thing. Does God want any of us to sin?
So
how
do we know if we're sinning or not?
The Word of God tells us. Word of God. Does God want any of his children to sin?
No.
But he wrote these specifically to these people, that they sin not. Is it possible for any genuine Christian never to sin or for sin not? No, that's not possible. We're not perfect. Who's the only one perfect person in this world could never sin? Did ever square? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior.
But there's a goal of sinning less.
Oh, yes.
Less and less, and that's what he's trying to say.
That's right. In other words, God does not want us to sin, even though we're not perfect, and we do sin because the old flesh is just lust for sin. It wants us to sin. But I write you that you sin up. Now, the solution is what in verse 1? Yvonne?
So it's possible to sin not.
Well,
I thought
no.
Just by being alive.
No, not impossible to sin not because I'm sinlessly perfect.
Sin not.
Can we be sinlessly perfect?
No.
We're just talking about that.
Okay, Barbara.
But we can have victory over
it. Oh, yes, we can. But he doesn't want them to sin, that she sin not. It doesn't mean it's possible to sin not. So if a man sin, what's true? What's the answer to the problem?
Why would he pray for us to sin not if we
can do it? The word continually sin.
But God doesn't want us to sin in any way, shape, or form. Even though it's impossible not to sin. And Bill?
We need to recognize when we do sin as quickly as we can so that we can confess our sin.
Questions at dftbc.org, 856-261-9018. My phone is now ringing, so I can hear you, so give me a call if you can. And we're glad to talk to you. Say hello.
Able to sin.
What was that? I write these things of you that you sin not. In other words, I don't want you to sin. That's all it means.
Right.
That you sin not, you don't sin. Right? That you, I don't want you to sin. That means you can't sin.
It's not saying it's not peace and passage, it's not peace sinless perfection.
Right. That's what not mom is thinking. It teaches sinless perfection. Well, I'll be straighten her out, Pastor Dan. Straighten your brother out.
We were talking about how it was a goal.
This is what he's saying. This is his desire. He doesn't want
them
to
continue
to sin.
Exactly. Yeah, Barbara.
Well, what Pastor Dan said is the continually of it. It's not that we don't, but that we don't continue in it.
But does God want us to sin a little bit even?
No, nothing.
But he doesn't want us to continue. All right. He doesn't want the Christians to sin. Doesn't mean they can't sin. Doesn't mean it doesn't sin. But they don't want you to sin. What's the answer to the problem in verse 1? Yeah, Barbara?
The advocate.
What does advocate mean? Yeah, Barbara?
Call to one side. One is pleased, another is called before a judge.
In this case, Tammy?
It's a divine lawyer.
It's a divine lawyer. Now, what do lawyers do? What should they do?
Depends
on what
the prosecutor defends.
All right, but what do lawyers usually do?
Represent.
You represent, okay. Plead
the case of another.
Plead the case of another. What do...
Or cause.
All right. What do defense lawyers do?
Defend.
Defend
who?
Client.
They defend guilty people.
What do
In this country, in certain areas, so they're accused of something, so there's a charge of something, and so the defense attorney is defending them against that charge. Now my client's innocent of all these charges.
Right. Barbara?
They defend against the prosecution.
All right. What do prosecuting attorneys do? Any hands on that? Yeah, Tammy?
They appeal the case of the plaintiff for the person that's been injured.
All right.
They plead for justice for them.
All right. Now, the next question I have is, what kind of attorney is the Lord Jesus Christ?
Both.
Both. All right. In what way is he both, Dr. Nett? Tim?
He's going to judge us. Or not judge us, he's going to judge the world. Right. And when he returns,
all
knees shall bow before him. Bow, or whatever.
Yeah,
knees
shall bow.
And his tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So, in that sense, he's the judge. And he's our advocate for those who have trusted him to bring them to heaven.
All right. And Barbara?
The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. We confess that sin. Christ is then our advocate before the Father to say that sin has been taken care of.
So it's been covered, forgiven. That's what it says in 1 John 1:9, isn't it? To confess, to agree with God, sin is faithful, trust, forgive us of sins, and cleanse us. So would you say the Lord Jesus Christ is only the prosecuting attorney, or is he a defense attorney? What does he do
both?
Both, all right. What does he as a prosecuting attorney? What does he do as a prosecuting advocate?
Convicts.
All right.
Through his word.
And what about the defense then?
In the sense that he's our advocate, the advocate of the believer, but also an advocate of the non-believer, the advocate of the believer, because the Lord Jesus Christ will talk out to God the Father. These people are confessing their sins. It's all covered in the blood. I came and became flesh. I died for these people.
Mm-hmm. So in the sense of covering as their advocate for genuine Christians, what is his main goal as an advocate and attorney? Prosecution or defense?
He defends us before.
Yes.
Because when we sin, he intercedes for us. It's intercession for the believer.
Yes. But does the Lord Jesus, what does he do for the unbelievers? Is he advocate or is he a defense or prosecutor for the unsaved? Not that they're in this verse, I mean, but in general. See, the advocate is for the Christian believers, but he prosecutes them. And all the sin comes before the Lord, and if they don't trust him, he's going to be against them. Who's going to be the judge at the great white throne judgment?
Lord
Jesus Christ. And he's going to be prosecutor, not going to be defense. Is there any defense that they have that will stick before the judge, No. Great white throne. No judge, no. They can talk.
Unbelievers.
They can talk. He doesn't want to hear it. None will ever suffice. They'll be sent to the lake of fire, hell for all eternity to come. But the believers have an advocate, a lawyer, defending us with the Father. And who is he? What's his title in verse 1? Yes, Barbara?
Jesus Christ, the righteous.
Absolute, perfect righteousness. And then in verse number 2, what does also it say that he's
saying? That's why he can intercede for us, because he's righteous. He's
sinful, he's
going to be able
to do that.
That's right.
Intercessor
for us.
That's right.
Pastor Dan. Hymn number 75, five bleeding wounds he bears, receives on Calvary,
go ahead, read it if you want to.
It's the third stanza there, not the fifth. Five bleeding wounds he bears, received on Calvary. They pour effectual prayers. They strongly plead for me. Forgive him, oh forgive, they cry. Forgive him, oh forgive, they cry. Nor let the ransomed sinner die.
All right. That's interesting.
Please, the word plead.
Please.
Five wounds of Christ. They plead for the Christian who needs an advocate in heaven.
All right. In verse number 2, what other attribute does the Lord Jesus have other than that first one as righteous? Barbara?
He's the propitiation.
What does propitiation mean? Sam? Satisfaction. Satisfaction. Do most new versions use that term? No, they wipe it out. They don't like it. It's too big for them. Too big for their britches, as they say. Yeah.
Doesn't the NIV add a whole lot of multiple syllable words that take the place of one or two syllables?
Yes, they do.
But they can't stomach this one.
That's right. Yeah, that's one of the things, the new version, big, long. See, that's one of the things when our son, Don Jr., had this whole thing on the Bible's words. One of the things he found is easier to read is because of the readability, its readability. The length of the words are much longer in the other versions and also other things, but it's more readable than these other big versions. But this is true. These he absolutely appreciated. It's kind of amazing. He's got a lot of them on it. He's our propitiation, a satisfaction. In what sense is the Lord Jesus Christ the propitiation? By the way, before I do that, who is the word there for our sin? Who's the our? Yeah, our?
True believers.
Then we're Christians. Propitiation or satisfaction for our sin. In what sense is the Lord Jesus Christ the satisfaction for the genuine Christian's sin?
What's the question?
What is the sense of which the Lord Jesus is satisfied and propitiated for the sins of Christians? Is he only propitiation? Well, he died for the sins of whom?
Everyone.
The whole world, everyone. But the special, sufficient propitiation for our sins, the sins of genuine Christians.
Only when you receive, you get.
That's right, because we have trusted him as our Savior. We believe in him as our Savior. That's why God is satisfied. If people haven't trusted him as their Savior, genuinely from the heart, is he their propitiation? No, he's not their satisfaction, propitiation. Because, so, what does it mean to be propitiated? Go ahead, Barb.
Then I don't understand, not for ours only, but also. It's not only for ours.
Well, I guess that's right.
For the sins of the whole world.
Now, what does that word for mean? What does that mean for me? That's true. That's then.
Because.
Could be, because
behalf of.
He's a propitiation and satisfaction, but also who else?
Well,
yeah, go ahead.
That points to the availability
yes.
of the sacrifice that he made at
yes.
Calvary, even though it's not effectual unless you believe.
Exactly. And Barbara?
God gave his son.
Yeah.
So, what he gave was perfect and complete for what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was for the world.
Mm-hmm.
But whosoever. But it was the gift was for the world.
Mm-hmm.
For everybody.
So, in the context of verse number 2, he's the appreciation, satisfaction for not only the believers, our, but also the whole world. But is there a difference of the, is there a difference of appreciation for the, I see a man out there getting out of his car. That's all. But that's all right. Don't worry about it. I can look out that kind of, like over here. That's okay.
Right.
I'm just wondering.
That's across the street.
Across the street. They're going to send the cross. All right. What's the difference between the appreciation for the saved, the appreciation for the lost? What's the difference in the appreciation according to this book? Yes, Ted?
Well, it's not been received by the lost.
See, just because it's available, they don't take it. Availability, this is not doing them any good. But it's available for not ours only, but the sins of all the others as well. The whole world. Does that fit in with hyper-Calvinism?
No.
Why not?
Except according to them, Jesus only died to be elect.
To still elect a certain group. It's wonderful that he's propitiated the satisfaction, not only for us. Now, where are you going, honey?
Well, I'm
going
to go to the
restaurant. Oh, he's going to look at that man outside. No, the man just drove away. I just thought you were. I thought you don't look at that man. I retract my question. So sins of the whole world is wonderful, isn't it? Sins of the whole world, yes. Yeah?
So I know in the context of what we were talking about when we were looking at the blessed person,
yes,
in the, 1 John, it's referring to the reference, it's referring to the Christian, but all men sin. So
right.
If someone is a sinner that is not saved and they believe they have no sin, then they're a liar.
Yeah,
just
right.
As much as a Christian
right.
would be a liar.
That's right. And we've got to be truthful and not certainly lie. It's that foolish. So wonderful propitiation, wonderful satisfaction, Lord Jesus Christ. What did the Lord Jesus mean when he said the words from the cross, "It is finished"? What did he mean by that? It is finished. Any hands on that? Bill.
He has paid the price for the sins of the world.
All right. What about 10?
Was God at that moment satisfied with the sacrifice that he had made?
Yes, and that's very good. So he said it. So then the sins of the whole world, wonderful thing, satisfaction, if they trust him. But if they don't trust him, is he the satisfaction for them? No. They're going to mean the great white throne. Then in verse 3, what does hereby mean? Hereby. Any hands on that? Okay.
It refers back to the previous two
okay.
verses. And so by these two verses before, mm-hmm. Specifically here, you know, that might not be right, hereby, because,
I missed that element.
Yeah, we did. You're okay. I forgot my thought. Okay, it was that because he is our advocate and because he's the propitiation, hereby we know.
All right. In this way, so the verse tells us in what way we know him. What is the way of this verse? If what?
If
keep, in other words, what does it take to keep something? Like this commandment. What does that take? What does that involve? Yes.
We have to know what they are.
That's the first step, isn't it? The second step is?
Do them.
Do them and keep them. So, we know him. We know him. We have fellowship with the Father. We have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Fellowship with the Advocate. If we keep his commandments and know them, first of all. There's a closer intimacy. All genuine Christians know of the Father in a certain way, but those that are walking with him know his word closely and keep his word. It's a closeness that we have. We know in a good, solid, intimate way the Father and the Son as well. Now, the hymn possibly goes back to the Lord Jesus, right? Because in verse 2, he is the propitiation, it's the Savior. Advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, verse 1. So we know him. Do all Christians know the Lord Jesus the same way? And as deeply?
No.
Why not? Should they?
Yes.
Okay. Could they?
Yes.
So possibly yes. They can?
Perhaps some people are interested in them.
Yeah.
Some Christians aren't.
Some Christians, they don't care. But it's a wonderful thing that we can know him either a little bit or a lot. God wants to know him in the most closest way we can, by knowing his commandments and keeping them. Let's read verses 4. 5 and 6 before you. The questions at bftdc.org or 856-261-9018. And my phone works now. I just had a button. Now I can actually ring and hear it. So please give us a call if you could. Like verses 4, 5, and 6 together. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we have abided in him. He that saith he abideth in him, on himself also shall to walk, even as he will. My verse 4. He that said, who do you think that he refers to there? Could be even. Could it not? Tim?
Christian, right?
Could be.
Or
could be Christian.
They might not be a Christian, actually.
In other words, it could be a Christian. We know if we keep his commandments. And he that saith, I don't know, who might that be? Probably. Of course, sometimes the unsaved people think that they know God, don't they? They say, yes, oh, we know, no problem, everything's fine. But if it refers to the Christians, they say, he that said, whoever says, so you're going out there to look at that car now. I don't know what's going on. All right. He that saith, I know him, and does not do what? Does not keep his commandments. Where are his commandments found? Where are his commandments found? The scriptures, the word of God, the Bible. See, that he keepeth not his commandments. What does God call it? What does God call it?
A liar.
A liar. Do people like to be called liars?
No.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, Barbara?
We go back to, we make him a liar. Back in what is it, verse 10 of chapter 1? We make him a liar. We can also be liars in the same truth.
Yes, verse number 10, chapter 1:10, huh? We make him a liar. If we say we have not sinned, God says we have sinned, all have sinned, and we make him a liar. In this case, these people are liars. Why are they liars? In that verse number 4? Yes, Barbara?
They say they know him, but aren't obedient.
Aren't obedient. They say, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments. So, isn't the knowledge of the Lord is different than just general knowledge? For instance, we may have a knowledge of the president, for example, just the president of our country, no matter who it is, but to know him personally, you meet him, and you talk with him, and so on. So, if we say we know him, but don't keep his commandments, what he wants us to do, God calls us a liar. And it's not very pleasant to be called a liar. And what else is true in verse number 4? Not only a liar, but what?
The truth isn't in him.
Truth is not in him. In other words, a person says, I know him, and doesn't keep his commandments. So, really now, these things I've read to you that you may know all things, and the Lord Jesus' prayer to the Father, I pray that they may know thee and keep thee, and that I think in chapter 17 of John, there's some implications the same way, that they may know intimately. The disciples knew the Lord Jesus Christ in a very intimate way. They were with him, they saw him, they listened to him, and so on. We're not with him like that, but we follow his commands. What he says, that I guess is a close knowledge of him. Keep his commandments. Now, we have a paper up in the life of my office about commandments. Is that word commandment limited to the Old Testament commandments?
No.
No. How many commandments roughly are there that is orders? Do this. Yeah, in the New Testament.
Over 1,000.
That's right, 1,500, 1,600. We've got all of them upstairs in my file. It's interesting. A lot of people confuse that. Some people said, well, please send us them. So I send it to them if they want them. Now, over 1,000. Oh, yes.
Okay.
I know exactly where it is.
A long time you didn't know where it was.
No, I just looked at like other C commandments. So I put right in the file, C commandments. They're there. I think they're 1,100 or something. Over 1,000. Keep his commandments. Is it easy to keep his commandments or hard?
Hard.
Both. Okay, why is it both?
It depends on this.
Okay, some are easy, some are hard.
And it depends if it's the instruction that helps you with obeying.
All right. So easy, some are hard, but then are keeping his commandments, all of them, the totality, easier or hard?
Hard.
That's hard. Definitely so. Then verse number 5, whoso keepeth his word, there again, where is his word found? Where is his word found?
Right.
Scripture.
What Bible? What scripture?
In English, it's the King James.
And this is the King James, right? And what are the originals? What are those?
Greek, Hebrew,
and Aramaic. All right. The New Testament takes your steps to Greek. Old Testament, Masoretic Hebrew, and Aramaic, a little bit of Aramaic. And that's what his word is. Now, at the Dienbergen Conference, my message of the last was 75 examples, many others, 75 examples. Pardon me?
It's
not 83. It's 83. Yeah, but I've got to make 75.
Okay.
There are 83 slides.
Oh, okay.
But there are 75 of those. See, because the beginning had other things to say.
I don't know. I probably have an old
That's all right. The old time I did say 83, yes, okay. Because there are 83 slides.
Okay.
But in the first part, I defined what Gnosticism was, what they believed, different things like that. So that's a couple parts. Well, they ended up with only 75 actual commandments. Because the Gnostic scriptures did not have extra seconds. fact, Dr. Mormon has counted the number of words that are omitted from the Gnostic Critical Greek, 2,800 something, 2,006 up to that 800, just dropped out. And some of the things that are dropped out, I mentioned in the slides, in the DBS conference, very serious. There are actually 356 total words or doctrinal passages that are there, different. And I tell you, of those 75 that I dealt with at the DBS, most of them were dropped out. Most of the words. What's the added? Sometimes they add, sometimes they change, but many times they just drop out. I put those words that dropped out in red. And so I read the scripture in black, in red ink. It's exactly what was dropped right out of it. It's terrible. And so those that use these modern versions that have 8,000 differences in the New Testament from the text Receptus and 356 doctrinal passages, do they have all of the Word of God? Do they have all the Word of God? And that's the point they don't. It's a sad thing. So, in fact, they don't even want to know it, I guess. They're too smart. They fight and they argue and so on. But anyway, be that as it may. But then in verse 5, whoso keepeth his word, what is true in verse 5 of a person, a genuine Christian, keeps and guards his word? Pardon?
The love of God is perfected in him.
Love of God perfected in him. And hereby we know that we are what?
In him.
In him. Who's the we referred to there?
Believers.
We? Are in him? Believers.
Believers.
Yeah, that's right. The we is the believers, genuine Christians. Know that we are in him. That's right, the Lord Jesus is in him. That's correct. Keeping his word, love of God is perfected. Now, is that objective genitive, the of, or subjective genitive, do you think? Objective or subjective?
Subjective.
Say by the bell. The difference is God's love, the love of God is God's love. That's genitive, which is.
That's subjective,
isn't it? It's subjective, and if it's our love for God, that's objective.
It's our love for God.
Which is it true here then? Love for God or God's love for us? Which? That's verse number. We pray with the love of God, perfect. You know, keep his word in him. Here, Byron.
Sorry.
The love of God perfected. Our love for God could be objective, isn't it?
The love of God is perfected in us.
That's right. In him, verily, the love of God perfected.
So
love of God. Probably God's love for us, huh? Would it be?
Yeah.
Would it be?
Yeah.
Or also could be love for God. Love for God is the objective, isn't it?
If
you keep his word, perfected.
I mean, it's sort of a parallel.
That's right.
Keeping his word is how we demonstrate that we love God.
Yes.
So.
See, that's right. I think our love for God, that would be the objective then. If we keep his word, our love for God is perfected. In other words, keeping his word, that recognizes.
Really?
Pardon me?
Really?
What?
I'm thinking it's subjective.
It could be subjective.
Because it's
God's love for us. God's love for us, it could be.
It's perfected in us, yes?
Yeah, love of God is perfected. God's love is perfected.
Because perfect. The love of God is the subject of the thing, because the love of God is perfected in him.
He that keeps his word, God's love is perfected in him. That's the subjective
well,
that God.
That would be interesting, too. So that's
subjective. I suppose we could understand more perfectly.
It's like he's working.
But if we barely have our love for God solidly, the love of God is perfected. We'd understand what perfect love is if we really follow his word. It's a possibility either way, I guess, subjective. Hereby we know that we are in him and saved. Let's stop right here. There was a next point. But any other comments or questions on this chapter 2 before we close? Why is that?
This is a very nice book, I'm excited.
Well, good. Well, if you hadn't picked it up, you'd pick it up yesterday if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Well, praise the Lord. I just close with a word of prayer. Well, by the way, I want to tell the people that are listening, if you're out there, I don't know where I put the book, I guess I put it away, but if you're interested in getting a book, Titus, well, if you want to, I just hold up and see it. We just have this new book that's printed, and it just came out and published. It's our latest one, and it's called Titus, verse by verse from Titus. So this looks like a grade with a red on it. Give us a call, and you can order that. Order that from us, 856-261-908, or questions at bfdbc.org. Let me see. I think it's 15. Let me see what it is. 15 plus shipping and handling. Let's see here. Well, it depends on where you live. Yeah, $15 plus $7 shipping and handling. 15. So go order that if you wish. Let us close with a prayer. We thank you, Father, for this epistle by Apostle John. Thank you for this first chapter, the end of it, first part of chapter 2. Things that belong that we should know. Help us, Lord, to read and study thy word, that we may grow, that we may know what sin is. Help us not to be so pompous and pious that we say we have no sin, we're perfect. No, Lord, we're not perfect. Help us by the study of thy word, obedience, make us more perfect, more like thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, loving thee, serving thee, accepted by thee for it. And I pray to continue to bless the ministry of our church around the world. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Thank you for coming, and